to do something here. Amen. We're going to stand just for a moment. We're going to read a passage of scripture. Many of you have probably heard this before. If you haven't, then you get a nice treat tonight. But unfortunately, this is one of those scriptures that a lot of people try to ignore or try to not read as much because it reminds us of some things that we don't really want to think about. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, it reads, Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? It's a rhetorical question that Paul was asking the church of Corinth. He says, don't you understand that the unrighteous is not going to inherit the kingdom of God? He said, it should be self-explanatory. The unrighteous aren't going to heaven. I don't want to, how it's more plain I can get it. He says, don't you understand that? He said, be not deceived. Don't let people lie to you about it. He said, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, or adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And he says, and such were some of you. He says, don't you understand that there was a before and an after? He says that when you were the before state, the kingdom of God was not in your grasp. It was not in your future. It was something that you would not be able to attain. He said that some were you, but you are washed. But you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Amen? For just a few moments tonight, I want to speak on the subject of sanctified. Sanctified. Pastor, would you pray? Amen. Before you're seated, look to your neighbor or the person closest to you and say, I want to be sanctified. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We had an old brother in our church growing up, Brother Charles Smith. No, that wasn't his name. What was his first name? Oh, my gosh. It was like with a V. I can't remember his name now. Oh, my goodness. Brother Smith. Brother Charles was his son. Mark remembers him. No. It was started with a V, And he was an amazing man. He worked for the county and the city. He was just that greatest guy. And my goodness, could that man play the organ? Oh, he would just jam on that thing. And what I remember most about him is when we go to church, he'd be in the back, and he'd have his little cane. He'd pull out of his pocket little root beer barrels, those little candies. And he'd give you one of those root beer barrels every service. Oh, we shook hands with Brother Smith every service as kids. There's no doubt about it. But that brother, he'd get up there and he'd start the playing, and God would start the moving, and testimony service would start to happen. And he'd get up and say, I feel good in my sanctified soul. He was a colorful man. And his son was no different. He's a mighty preacher. And I'm telling you, they were a great family. He's obviously passed away now. But he was felt good in his sanctified soul. He understood what it meant to be sanctified. You see, when I look around the room here tonight, I think that everyone here wants to make heaven their home. I mean, I don't think I'm going too much out on limb to state that fact that we're here to ensure our place in a heavenly home with our Savior. We want to walk on those streets of gold. We want to sit with in the city where the Lamb is the light. We want to go to the place where there is no more sorrow. There is no more night. There is no more parting. We'll be joy forevermore. We'll be able to sit at His right hand. We'll be able to sit around the throne of glory and cast our crowns at the feet of Jesus, singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. I don't think that's a stretch here tonight to say that we're all anxious and wanting heaven to be our home. I think if you didn't care about what happens after this life, you probably wouldn't be here tonight. I know we have some good people, and we like the fellowship, and we like to hang out, but we're not that nice to where people just kind of hang out with us just because they like us. Or maybe some of you are. Maybe I'm not. But I think we're here for a reason. I think we're here for a purpose. I think we care about making heaven our home. I think we've made some steps in our lives and made some commitments in our lives and taken some things serious in our lives to make sure heaven is our home. Amen? I don't think it's any great shock as well to hear in the scripture that it states that those that are unrighteous will not be in heaven. Right? I don't think the scripture we read tonight should have hit anybody out of sorts or should have surprised anybody to hear Paul blatantly state that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. That might make it a pretty good place if all the sin's not there. That's what I'm thinking. I think that's a good idea that the sin does not enter the kingdom of God. I think God got the design pretty good. Amen? All right, you're trying to stick with me. I can see it. And I think the general thought of Christianity is that when we become Christians or we strive to be Christians, that we become good or we become better than what we were. Right? I don't think it comes any shock to us that we would expect that somebody who is claiming to be a Christian, that they're a good person. So if we can build on that foundation of saying that sin cannot enter into heaven, that sinners cannot go to heaven, and that coming to God will make us less sinful, I think we're at a pretty good place to understand what's being sanctified is all about. Amen? See, what we have to understand is that nobody has ever been perfect save one, who was Jesus Christ. Brother Smith is a very good man. There is no doubt about it. In fact, every time I talk to my, I don't want to embarrass him, but he probably can't hear me. But every time I talk to my dad and Brother Smith's name come up, this is the words that come out of his mouth. I like him. He's a good man. Oh, I like hanging out with him. He's a good man. And I don't think anybody here would dispute the fact that Brother Smith is a good man. That he does the right things, that he does everything he can to live for God the best he knows how. But I want you to understand, even Brother Smith was a sinner. Yeah. Pastor White was a sinner. Mike Wood was a sinner. I want you to understand, there's not a single one of us that is perfect, that has always been perfect. We have all sinned. Nobody ever can claim up here that they're better or worse than anyone else. I saw something, and I know you can love Facebook or hate Facebook, but I saw it on Facebook that don't judge others because they sin differently than you. There's nobody better or worse. Sin is sin, and we've all done it. Amen? And the thing that we have to understand is that there's nothing we can do about our sin in of ourselves. I can't do a thing about my sin. I can't forgive it. I can't get rid of it. I can't take enough showers to get it off of me. I can't say enough prayers to get it out of me. I cannot do anything to get rid of my sin. The only thing that can get rid of my sin is God Himself. We need a Savior. We need a Christ. We need a sacrifice to cover our sins. We can't forgive our own sins. And we say, well, why do we even want to? Well, we look in the scriptures in Ephesians, it says that God's going to present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That is a high standard. When you think about, I can't do a thing about it, but I've got to be without blemish. When you think about, man, I've done this wrong. I've done this wrong. I know I shouldn't have done that. And you start listing all the things and you start thinking about it. You say, but I'm supposed to be holy and without blemish. That's the church that's going to be presented. That's what's going to make it into that heaven. That's what's going to make it into that kingdom. What am I supposed to do with that? How in the world can we do that if we are flawed as humans? Because we can't live up to it on our own. We can do all that we can do. We can be kind. We can help others. We can abstain from sin and abstain from evil conversation and do our very best. But the truth is that our best still isn't good enough. You know, the scriptures even says our righteousness are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Our right works, our justification, the things that we do that are good for people. He says, you know what? They're just rags. They don't amount to anything. They can be tossed out as easily as anything else. They are filthy rags. How can we do it? It's the fact is that we need a Savior. The only way we can do it is and to be blameless is to have His name upon our lives. We need Jesus' name in our lives. We need His blood to cover our sins. We need His blood to blot out our iniquities. Then we can stand blameless. I love how the Bible talks about being blameless, but doesn't talk about being innocent. None of us are innocent. None of us are innocent. None of us can come up and say, I have not sinned. In fact, the Bible, I think, says that if a man says that he has not sinned, he is a liar and deceives his own self. The truth is not in him. It's the same difference, right? He's a liar. We cannot do that. We cannot be innocent. But when we have Jesus' name and His blood applied to our lives, we can stand blameless. We can stand up in a courtroom of Jesus Christ and He can look at us and say, I don't see any sin. I don't see any wrongdoing. I don't see all those things that you want to talk about. It's not there. And we can be justified and sanctified and made holy through Him. You see, in our opening scripture, if you can put that back up on the screen for me, it says that we are justified and we are sanctified. Go to the next one. Verse 11. It says, and such were some of you, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of Jesus. I want you to understand something about being justified. Being justified and being sanctified are two different things. Some people try to use these things interchangeably, and that's where we get ourselves into trouble. Being justified is a one-time, point-in-time event. Being justified is God forgiving you of your sins. He's saying, you're doing something wrong. I'm going to justify you. Even though you're wrong, I'm going to put you as though you were right. He says, I wasn't doing the right things, but now God has entered my life, and now He's made me as though I did do the right things. This is something that we can't do for ourselves. The Bible and scriptures after scripture tells you that we are justified through faith. We are justified through our belief in Jesus Christ, that He is going to forgive us of our sins, that He's going to make our lives right. We are justified through the blood of Jesus. He makes us right again. That's an awesome thing to think about. To think about, I did something wrong, and Jesus says, I'm going to make it as though it didn't happen. How many loved growing up in your parents' house and you dinged the car? Not only your car, but you dinged it into somebody else's car. Or a head-on collision in my case. And you go home going, I am a teenager, and what am I going to do about the wrecked car? I can't do anything. I'll tell you the story. I came up over a hill when... Actually, both of them were about a week apart. I came over a hill, and there was a line of cars sitting there where there usually isn't, and I slammed on my brakes, and guess what? I didn't stop in time. Boom, right into the back of a pickup truck. And let me tell you, the Dodge Dakota rear bumper fits perfectly into the grill of a Dodge 600. Just let you know that. It just took it right out and broke the radiator and everything. I had to replace the whole front clip. And I wrecked it and brought it home. And I'm like, what am I going to do? I dented his car. I messed up my car. What am I going to do? I did something wrong. It was my fault. I got a ticket. It was a bad day. And then Dad comes in. And he goes, you know what? Here's the money for the ticket. We're going to talk to the police officer. And he made it like I didn't even do anything wrong. He didn't hold it against me. Now, I did have to pay for it all, but he didn't hold it against me. He made it just if I didn't do it. He just took care. How many love that when your parents were able to come in and just, I'll clean up that mess. And that's what God does in our lives. We make a mess of it through our sin. We make a mess of it through our behavior. And he comes in and says, I'll clean it up. I'll take care of it. You don't have to worry about it. He's that heavenly father that we have that we can say, God, I messed it up. But he goes, I'll clean it up. It's an amazing thing to think about it. But what we have to understand is that's not the end of it. That justification, he says, you're washed, you're justified. That justification is just the beginning of what God wants to do for us. You see, where we get into trouble is to think that forgiveness of sins is the end of it. You see, we can feel guilty, but not be sorry. We can feel sorry and not be repentant. We can be justified, but not saved. You see, we can go through all these things and say, God, you forgave me, and go right back out and make the same mistakes over and over and over and over again. And we come back to God and he justifies us again and he forgives us of our sins again and again. And we never go to that next spot or that next level in God. I want you to understand we need to go beyond that first initial forgiveness of our sins and become sanctified. We need that calling to say, I want to be made holy. I want to be made holy in God. You know what the word sanctification is, or being holy? It's to set something apart or declare it as holy. And holy is something that is used specifically for the purposes of God. That it can't be distressed or it can't be affected by other means or other things. It is set apart specifically for the purpose of God. If you want to be used of God, you've got to be sanctified. When you look at the Old Testament temple, that tabernacle in the wilderness, which was to foreshadow the New Testament church, anything that was used in the temple had to be sanctified. You can read through all the laws, books, and everything, and it's really boring reading. But you can really read through it, and it talks about the brazen laver, and it says that they had to wash it, and they had to clean it, and they had to get it ready, and it was sanctified. It couldn't be touched anymore. The altar had to be cleaned, and it had to be sanctified. The candlesticks, everything, even the priests themselves had to be sanctified. If they touched something unclean, it was weeks or months before, and sometimes I think a year in some cases, before they were able to enter into the tabernacle. Why? Because they had to be sanctified, set apart, declared for a holy purpose. We also need to be sanctified for his purpose. We need to be made holy. That initial forgiveness of sin is not just the end all be all. It's a wonderful thing. It's an awesome thing. It's a necessary thing. But God wants to do more. Amen. He says, be holy, for I am holy. In 1 Peter it says, but he which has called you is holy. So be holy in all manner of conversations, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. This is about as plain as the first one, right? He says, be holy, because I'm holy. He says, I want you to be holy. It's a command. Just like those high priests had to go through those sanctification processes, we too need to make sure that we're doing everything possible to remain holy and set apart, that we're to reserve ourselves for the use of God. Think about that. When things come up in your life that you're tempted to do this or you're tempted to do that, you can sit back and say, you know what, I'm reserving myself because God wants to use me somewhere. When I'm about to say something or I'm about to do something, you say, you know what? I'm not going to do that because I'm reserving myself for a special purpose for God. But Brother Mike, what is that purpose? I don't know what it is. You know what? I don't either. And the great thing about it, I don't have to know, because all I know is I'm going to put myself back here. I'm going to reserve myself for God's use. And when he's ready to use me, he's going to pick me up and he's going to put me right to where he wants us to be. See, in Romans, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice. Holy. Holy. and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He's saying this is what you can do. He says you can pick up your bodies and say, I'm going to present it to you just like they did in the Old Testament, where you can sacrifice it, you can kill it. But the great thing about it is I don't have to die. I don't have to. Physically, I don't have to die. I have to die out to sin, but I'm going to present my body a living sacrifice. What does that mean? I'm going to say, God, whatever my life is, I'm giving it to you. I sacrifice my will. I sacrifice what I want to do. I sacrifice my pleasures. I sacrifice it all. It doesn't mean he's going to take it all. Think about Isaac when Abraham took him up to the top to sacrifice him, to kill him, to offer him up to God. God requested everything from Abraham and took nothing. Allowed Isaac to live. And provided himself a sacrifice somewhere else. God wants us to be willing to give it all to him. And he will say, I will give it all plus back. It is expected of us to do our part. But we can't, like I said before, can't do it all on our own. Sanctification requires the Holy Ghost to help us. We cannot do it without God living inside of us. When you look through the scriptures and it talks about sanctification, most times when it's in there, it talks about sanctification in the Holy Ghost or by the Holy Ghost or through the Holy Ghost. It is by God's Spirit alone that sanctifies us. We cannot do it ourselves. We can set ourselves apart. We can prepare our lives. We can do the things that we're supposed to do and that makes us good people, but the sanctification only happens through God. Now, I want to talk a little bit about sanctification. We know what justification is. It's a point in time it happens. Boom, you're justified. Boom, you're justified. But when you look up sanctification, it is a process. It is not a point in time. It is not something that just happens instantaneously. Like being justified is. It is a process that takes time to develop. He doesn't just forgive us, but he goes much further than that. He turns us from being unholy to holy. He turns us from being carnal to being spiritual. From being a people, or from not being a people, to being a people. You see, that doesn't happen instantaneously. This is where people get discouraged in their walk with God. Is they come to God, they repent, they get baptized, they receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and they assume that as soon as they walk out the door, I am sin free, I will sin no more, I am almost Jesus. You laugh. Am I wrong? I was like that. I'm not going to lie to you. I was at camp. I was speaking in tongues clear into the night, and I waked up the next day. I'm like, I am almost Jesus until I sinned again. But, ooh, I better keep that under wraps. I'm not as good as I thought I was. We think that as soon as we get God's blessing and God's approval on us and we receive the Holy Ghost, we're baptized, we're repented, that's it. We're instantly good. We're instantly sanctified, but that's not what it is. They think as soon as that happens, we're automatically perfect. But it's a process. It takes time. It takes working at it every day. It takes going to God every day. It takes seeking his face every day. It takes going to his word and feeding on his bread every day. It takes us preparing ourselves for the use in the kingdom of God every day. And when we do that, God can do great things because we're allowing him to use us for the things we couldn't do on our own. When we go through that process, he says, you are setting yourself up for special use in my kingdom. You're making yourselves holy. You're sanctifying yourself. You see, when we sanctify ourselves, we become something different. Our God is a creator. That's his nature. There's a rule called a rule of primacy in the scriptures where you can generally tell what somebody or something is about by the first thing that it records in the Bible. Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created. So by the rule of primacy, we know that God is a creator. That is the thing that he loves to do. That is his very nature. He creates things. He makes something out of nothing. That's something we can't do. Everything we do needs raw materials. There's nothing here on this planet that wasn't here when we got here. We created nothing new. We've put things together. We've torn things apart. We've moved things all around. But it's all been here. But God calls nothing into existence. He is a creator. And I want you to understand, he is still creating today. He is still creating today. Yeah, he might be. The universe is a big place. But I don't think he's creating new worlds out there. He may not be doing that, but he's still creating things in us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is what? A new creature. In some translation, it says a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all so when we come to God and we're sanctified in him and we come to Christ, we are something brand new. He's created something. You're not the way you used to be. I don't know about you, but that excites me every time I think about it. I'm not the same person. I'm not the same thing on the inside. I'm something completely new. That sinful desires and all those things that I did, it's like they don't exist because that guy is dead. I'm something brand new. I'm something completely and altogether different. I'm going to read the rest of this because we love that scripture and we stop right there, but there's a lot more that I want to talk about. It says, and all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We are reconciled or we're forgiven or our debt has been paid. Sounds like something we're talking about right here. That we're reconciled to God, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. What's that mean? God has said, I'm in the business of forgiving, not in the business of prosecuting. He says, I'm not going to hold your sins to you. I'm not going to hold those problems to you. But instead, I'm going to forgive them. And it has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. He says, now you're something altogether different. Instead of being the sinful sinner that you were, instead of going the wrong places and doing the wrong things, now that you are a spokesperson for God, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead that ye be reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus was our sin. We did the crime, but Jesus did the time. We did the crime. He says he knew no sin, but that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He said Jesus didn't do anything wrong. We did. But what Jesus did for us, he says, I'm going to come and I'm going to reconcile you to myself. I'm going to take the blame. I'm going to offer up myself and through that sanctify you. You see, we are reconciled. We are justified in Christ. We are sanctified in Christ. After we've been sanctified, then we can be used. Why? Because he became sin for us. Even though he had never sinned, he took it all on so that we could become something we've never been able to be on our own. You know, I asked the boys and their friends, and I'm a scout too, and I asked them a lot, and I asked them, what do you want to be when you grow up? I still ask my dad sometimes, too. What do you want to be when you grow up? And you can get all kinds of answers depending on the day of the week and what show they watched on TV. You can get all kinds of answers. And when you're little, you think about, man, I want to be a firefighter. I want to be a police officer. I want to be a football player. I want to be a baseball player. I want to be a baller. I want to be a little bit taller. I want to, you know, I want to do all those things. And when we come to God, we think about, man, I want to be a missionary. Man, I would be great. I think it'd be awesome to be able to be an evangelist or to be a pastor or to be a teacher. But you look at yourself and you go, man, but I don't have the training. I don't have the talent. I don't have the abilities in myself. Not only that, I'm not good. I'm not a good person. I'm not someone to look at. I sin. I do things wrong. But when we take God into our lives, he says, I'm going to make you into something that you couldn't be on your own. To where those dreams of being something great for God suddenly become possible. And 1 Peter says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar or special people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, which in time past you were not a people, but you are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You see, what we have to understand is when we are sanctified in Christ, we are made holy in Christ. We're part of that holy nation, that royal priesthood. When we were wandering around in sin, we weren't a people. We had no direction. We had no identity. But now we're the people of God. When we were wandering around in sin before we were justified, before we were sanctified, we had no hope. But now we have mercy. You see, when we were living our lives of sin and doing the things we shouldn't be doing, we felt so out of place and always struggling for something. But now we can find the peace of God that passes understanding, the joy unspeakable for glory. Why? Because I have been sanctified. I've been set aside for his use, and he's going to start using me. See, I'm not the way I used to be. I don't do the things I used to do. I don't respond the way I used to respond. I'm something new. I'm something different. I'm becoming holy. I am being sanctified. Hallelujah. I wonder if we could stand tonight. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I want to be sanctified. I want to be set aside in my life for a higher purpose with God. Yeah, repentance is necessary. We have to be sorry for our sins, and we have to stop doing the wrong things. We've got to repent. We need baptism in our lives. We need to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. We need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, because in that we can be sanctified and become holy. And when we're holy, we have that hope of glory. We have that hope of walking on streets of gold. We have that hope of making heaven our home. We have that hope of abandoning the sinful lives that we have and knowing that God loved us enough to die for us. I wonder tonight if we could just all come around this altar. God is in this place. I don't know where you are in your walk with God. You may be saying, is there a God? Or you might be the person that's saying, I want the most of God. But wherever you are in your walk to God, I would tell you this. There is more out there. God is.